We are 2 hours out from Festivus Friday, the airing of the grievances brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fix today at Q39KC.com.
Say what?
Yeah. NBC News, an engine failure forced pilots on a Qantas flight to make an emergency landing shortly after it took off from an airport in Sydney, Australia. Passengers heard a loud bang.
It was a big-ass boom.
Shortly after Flight 520 from Sydney to Brisbane left the runway this afternoon. Engineers concluded after a preliminary inspection confirmed the Boeing 737 jet suffered an engine failure. Passenger Mark Willacy, who is a journalist with Australia's ABC News, is quoted as saying, "A really jolting shudder went through the plane. We knew immediately that something was wrong. That big bang as the wheels were leaving the ground and then the shudder, it was like nothing I have ever felt before." He says the plane struggled to get altitude. You think?
It was a big ass.
Yes, it was.
So we would be remiss if we did not mention that Monday is Veterans Day. Dan, thank you for your service.
Quite welcome.
Only one the program who has served. And I want to read this story because I think it is important that this work continues. From Fox 4, remains of soldier killed on D-Day are being returned to Kansas.
Oh.
The remains of a U.S. soldier who was killed in action during the invasion of Normandy during World War II have returned home. Sergeant John O. Herrick of Emporia was assigned to the 149th Engineer Combat Battalion. On June 6, 1944, Sergeant Herrick was among 200 soldiers and 25 Coast Guard crew members on board a landing craft approaching Omaha Beach at Normandy on D-Day. According to the Defense POW MIA Accounting Agency, the ship was struck by enemy mortars before it hit a mine, igniting the fuel in the forward troop compartment and killing the men inside instantly. Mm. The remains of the soldiers in the compartment were eventually recovered, but were unable to be identified. They were interred as unknowns in Normandy American Cemetery. In 2021, the unidentified remains were transferred to the DPAA lab for analysis. What's DPAA?
No idea.
We'll come back to that. Oh, the Defense POW MIA Agency. The lab was able to identify one set that belonged to Sergeant Herrick in the summer of 2023. On Veterans Day, Monday, a special burial service will be held for Sergeant Herrick in his hometown of Emporia.
Wow. That's incredible. I learned something just now with you reading that story that I did not know about World War II.
He was 19 years old when
he
died.
That's too bad. That's too bad. I did not know that the Coast Guard engages in foreign combat.
Oh, yeah. World War II? Certainly.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
It was a nationwide effort.
Yeah.
Dan,
yeah.
When they say they were on a landing craft, that means one of those like amphibious-looking things where the entire wall comes down. Correct.
And the boat that they ran up onto the beach.
Yes.
This ship that they were on was a little different type of landing craft, but yes, similar.
And I'm also looking up because they were interred at the time as unknowns in Normandy American Cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen pictures of that 1,000 times. That's in Saving Private Ryan.
So I see it now.
With all the white crosses.
Yep.
That's where, you know, they have the D-Day ceremonies where the president will go.
Lays the wreath. Yep.
And lay the wreath.
Okay, so this also says to me then, you know, they did not have the technology, obviously, back after the war to identify the remains. But for any of the soldiers who were in that compartment when that happened, they have the remains. You know, it's important, I think, to understand that work still continues and I believe should.
But they were only able to identify his remains of the several that were interred.
The story focuses on him coming back home to Emporia because it's obviously a Kansas story.
Local story.
It's a local story.
But they've identified numerous remains through the years for service members from across the country.
I did not know this. Congressman Ed Reese of Emporia introduced the bill creating the Veterans Day holiday, which was signed into law by Kansan World War II general and President Dwight D. Eisenhower in 1954.
It used to be known as Armistice Day.
Sergeant Herrick, it just so happens, was born on that day in 1924. So, yeah, Congressman Ed Reese of Emporia is the one who introduced the bill creating Veterans Day that we will mark on Monday.
And if I could, just very quickly, Dan, thank you for your service, but I want to make sure that we thank everybody who put on a uniform, who is in the listening audience, and even those who are not listening to this show. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts for what you did, what you were willing to do that the three other morons on this show were not. Well, thank you. An ordinance that is passed in one New Jersey town on 2024 Election Day could have people raising a glass. Haddon Heights voters had a simple yes or no question about making alcohol sales in Camden County legal for the first time in more than a century.
What?
Yes. Selling alcohol had been illegal in Camden County since 1904. The ballot passed on Tuesday with 2,176 voting yes and 1,351 saying no alcohol up in here.
No, we do not need it up in here.
Yep.
This ends a 120-year ban on alcohol sales.
A prohibition that existed until this week.
Why?
The bars and restaurants inside those city limits are so happy.
Which city?
It's the city is...
You don't want to go there.
Haddon Heights. It's in Camden County.
It's 10 miles south. Yes, 10 miles southeast of Philly.
Yep. Yeah, I know where Camden is.
kind of stick must they have?
Boy, I'll tell you what.
Planted in a place we will not identify.
Well, took a while to pull it out.
For 120 years, there will be no alcohol and no dancing in this town.
Keep this in mind. When I was working in Ottawa, Kansas, KOFO, in the mid-1990s, I think I'll word this correctly, there was a great controversy there because people wanted to legalize alcohol by the drink. I'm trying to remember exactly the way they phrased it. But you could not serve alcohol by the drink.
You had to buy it at a package store?
Or, like, I remember going to Pizza Hut one night, and you were allowed to buy a pitcher of beer, but you couldn't order a beer.
Huh.
You know, I think I'm getting this right. It's been 30 years since I was working there. But there were no bars in Ottawa. None.
Wait, go back to this. 62% of the people, what are there, three people who live there, first of all? 62% are in favor, 38% opposed.
5,500, I believe.
You mean to tell me we don't know. Was this the first time this ever even made it to the ballot? Because how was this not flipped in 1950 or 60 or set? Like, why now?
A town of 7,500 people, by the way. Not all of them, of course, of voting age. Dana, I have no idea. It's like going back in time. And I need not remind everybody, Kansas, up until a couple of decades ago, did not allow any Sunday liquor sales. You could not go into
blue
a liquor
laws.
Store. Yeah, blue laws. You could not go into a liquor store on a Sunday in Kansas. They had to be closed. Until one day Wyandotte County said, enough of this.
Listen to the first sentence in the New York Post story. A dry New Jersey town could soon be... Wait. A dry New Jersey town could
not
soon become three sheets closer to serving booze. Pop the bubbly.
I'm amazed that 1,300 people in that town voted against it. They wanted to keep their town dry. It's amazing.
You're not going to poison my streets.
That's right.
You know who's got to be against
demon
this?
Alcohol
all
in here.
Of the neighboring towns are like, oh, hell.
There goes our sales.
We got away with it for 120 years.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.